Gemara. If the Meicher sold something worth $5 for $6, and then the value went up and it's now worth $8, so who was really cheated? Really, you could say earlier on the buyer was cheated because it was really worth $5, but he sold it for $6. Later on, the seller was cheated because it became worth $8. So who was actually cheated and who gets to back out? Our answer is the buyer was cheated, so only he can back out, but the seller cannot back out of the deal. Daf pei dalet. Since wheat can be white or red, it must be that the sun is red. And if you look at the sun at sunrise and sunset, it looks red. This is since in the morning it passes the roses of Gan Eden, so it looks red, and this is in the east. And in the evening it passes Gehenim, which is in the west. Both of them are red. The Gemara says the Mishnah must be like Rebbe, who says chemitz, vinegar, and yayin are two different types of minim. So you can't meiser one on the other. The Rabbanan say they're the same minim. So you can be meiser one for the other. The next Mishnah. If someone sells peiros to his friend and they set a price, if the buyer then did meshicha, even though they didn't measure the amount, we say the kinyan is chal because the meshicha was done. But if it was measured but no meshicha was done, the kinyan is not chal. When someone buys flax, he isn't kaina unless he moves it. If it's mechubel karka, he's kaina once he pulls it from the ground. Gemara. Rav Asi said if one puts something into a simta, a side alley, the buyer can also be kaina. A chatzar hashutfin can also be kaina for the buyer. Rava and Abaye say kinyan mesira, which is the kinyan of giving something over, kinyan mesira works in a Rosh Hasharabim, but meshicha, pulling something, does not work in a Rosh Hasharabim. A meshich can only work in a simta or a chatzar hashutfin. You really need a person's private reshus for this kinyan to work, because meshicha says you're pulling it towards yourself, sort of into your reshus. Therefore, you need to have a chatzar which either belongs to you, which is a chatzar hashutfin, or at least a simta. Kinyan hagba, when a person actually picks something up mamish, that works everywhere. Daf pehe. Rav and Shmuel say the keli of a buyer works everywhere, except in a Rishus HaRavim, since the buyer has no Rishus to put it down in the Rishus HaRavim. Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish say even Rishus HaRavim, it works. But Rav Papa says this Gemara doesn't mean that a keli works in a Rishus HaRavim, but rather it means that it works in a simta. Can the keli of the owner work even in the Rishus of the seller, i.e. does the Rishus of the Meicher be mevatel the keli? Our answer is, we see that if a wife is in the Rishus of her husband, and he threw a get at her into her pocket, or into her basket, we say the get is chal. And finally, the meshicha done to a worker will not help you to be kind of the grain that is on his back. Da'pevav. Nechasim sheyesh bahan achrayas, for example, land, that can be nikna via kesef, shtar, or chazaka. But nechasim she'ein bahan achrayas, for example, metaltalin, which have no permanence at all, those need meshicha. But meshicha can only work on things which are heavy and cannot easily be picked up, for example, like a boat. If they can be picked up, then you have to do a kinyan hagba, you have to mamish pick it up. If someone steals a money bag on Shabbos, he's over for two averis, number one for geneva, and number two, he's chayev misa for haitzah b'Shabbos, for carrying in a rishus haravim on Shabbos. We say that he is chayef, however, to pay back all the money. And we don't say, kam lebi d'rav mine, that once he's chayef or misa, he's pater for mammon. This is because the two chiyuvim didn't come simultaneously. Normally, if a person becomes mechuyev for two punishments, we say he only gets the greater punishment, not the smaller punishment. So here, once he's chayef misa, he should be pater for mammon. No, here we say he's chayef for both, since the two chiyuvim did not come simultaneously. The chiyuv mammon came first. But if he dragged the bag out, then he's pater for mammon, since both chiyuvim came at the same time. The Gemara says flax, in order to be kainet, you must take it from one rishus to another via kinyan hagba. A small animal also needs kinyan hagba, but a large animal can be done via meshicha because it's too heavy to lift via hagba. If a seller says, I'm selling you a kur, this is the equivalent of 30 sun, but he says, I'm selling you a kur, the buyer or seller can be chayzer even if 29 of the 30 sa'in have already been measured, since it was sold as a full total kur. And since only 29/30 of it were sold, the kur has not actually been sold completely. But if he says, I'm selling you 30 sa'in, then he can't change his mind on the first 29 sa'in, but he can only be chayzer on number 30. And this kinyan is chal as soon as the grain enters the measuring keli, regardless of who actually owns the particular keli. Daf pei zayin. If an employer says to an employee, I'm going to give you one dinar today for each day you work later. For example, if I know you're going to work 30 days, I'll give you 30 dinarim. If now he works more than a dinar's worth, you cannot have hana from his work, since this is like taking ribbis, since it looks to people like ribis. A chazaka on land works to be kind of grain which is attached to that land, because we say it's a kinyan agav. The Mishnah. If someone sells wine or oil to his friend and they set a price, then the value of the wine went up or down. If the measuring cup is not completely full, the wine is still in the reshus of the seller. Once it's full, the wine goes into the reshus of the buyer. If the person who measured was a middleman, if it gets ruined at that particular point in time, it's the middleman's problem, because he's got it. Also, it is a chiv on the seller, even after the keli is filled, to allow three more drops to fall into the keli, to make sure that the actual full amount was actually measured. A grocer is putter from this, because he's too busy, especially if it's Erev Shabbos. Gemara. Rabbi Elazar told Ze'iri when he saw him in Eretz Yisrael some halachas of measurements. For example, if someone uses a keli to take off truma from liquids, whatever accumulates at the bottom of the keli is still considered to be truma. But stam in a sale, what accumulates at the bottom of stam a keli, does not belong to the owner, since the bialim is miayish on it, so it becomes like hefker. Kuntres Aladaf points out that the concept of yish does not apply to truma, since that as much as a kayan can only relinquish his rights to the truma, he is not empowered to remove the sanctity from the truma and permit it to Yisrael. Therefore, any oil that subsequently gathers on the bottom of the container must be treated as truma, i.e. is prohibited to a zar, to a Yisrael. The Ramban asks, why is it permitted to fill a previously used keli, which was used for truma? Why is it permitted to fill that with chulin, once the three drops of truma drip out? As long as there is any residue of truma remaining in its walls, it should be prohibited to fill the container with chulin. While it's true that if the meiser container is accidentally filled with chulin, the small amount of remaining truma becomes batel b'meya, because we know truma is batel b'meya. Nevertheless, the rule is ein mevatlan isur l'chatchila. It's also to purposely dissolve a prohibited substance in a permitted substance. Ein mevatlan isur l'chatchila. So how are you allowed to do that? The Rabban answers that the concept of ein mevatlan isur l'chatchila is only mirabbanan. And the Rabbanim did not impose this prohibition in cases of considerable inconvenience. Thus, since the Rabbanim felt that requiring the removal of every last drop of truma oil would make things very difficult, they therefore allowed one to dissolve whatever truma remains after three drops dripped from the container. The Rambam, in Perek Tesvav of Hilchos Trumas, Halacha Tesvav, extends this leniency, this kula, even to a pot used for cooking truma. He rules that a truma pot may be used for cooking chulin after it was rinsed with cold water. The Mishnah. If someone sends his son to the grocer to buy oil, and the grocer measured the oil and gave him the keli, oil, and some change. If the child then breaks the keli and the oil spills, the chenveni is chayev to pay him all three again. Rabbi Yehuda paters the chenveni, since the child was like a shliach for the father. But the chachamim would agree that if the child was carrying the keli, and the chenveni poured oil while it was in the child's hand, the chenveni is pater. Gemara. The Chachamim say pater, since the child is not a shliach to carry the oil back to the father, but only a shliach to tell the grocer what the father wants to order. The grocer should then deliver the item, not the child. Tapechas. Someone who is old is not mechuyev to return a lost object, like an animal, because it's below his dignity and it's too much of a bother. If someone takes a keli from a craftsman to inspect it, and while it's in his hand it breaks, he's chayev as long as the item has a fixed price. If someone wants to make something hektish, it must belong to him, since if it doesn't, ein adam maktish davar shein shalai. The Gemara says if a Talmud Chacham, a chaver, looks at vegetables from an amaretz, once he makes a psychological commitment to buy, he's chayav to take off meiser, and if he wants to return it, he must still take off meiser. This halacha is only by Yerei Shamayim, since the pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Tesvav, says v'dover emes bilvave. If you agree about something in your mind, you should take on all of the chumras, for example, meiser, at that particular point. The Mishnah. A wholesaler must wipe clean his measuring containers once every 30 days. Otherwise, the liquid will cake up at the bottom and lessen the amount of volume that he actually sells to his customers. A balabaya should do this once every 12 months. Rishon ben Gamliel says just the opposite. However, a chenvedi must clean it 2 times per week, since he sells all the time. Weights he should clean once a week, and scales he should clean every time he uses them. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, only for wet objects, like meat and oil, something which is a dover lach, does he have to clean it every time, but not by a dover yavesh, not by something which is dry. And you should tip the scales slightly in favor of the buyer, and don't try to sell the buyer more or less than he really wants. Gemara. The halacha of giving a little extra is learned from the pasuk in Devarim Chafei, Evan Shlema Vatzedek. Rabbi Levi says the einish of false measures is worse than the einish for arayis, since by arayis it uses the lashon of kel, but by midas it adds an extra hey, eila. Not only that, by arayis at least a person can do tshuva, but not by mishkal. Rabbi Levi said that stealing from a hedyot is worse than stealing from hektish, since by hedyot it says chet first. He also said, come see how much better the midas of Hashem har versus the midas of basar v'dam, since Hashem has rachamim to people versus a melech basar v'dam, since he gave us more brachas than he gave us klolas. Tapetas. If the minig is to give a heaping spoon measure, then you can't change that minig. If the minig is to give a smooth spoon measure, you can't change that minig. So the pasuk says, Eifa shlema. If a person says he wants a half a liter, you should give him a half a liter, or otherwise it can lead to deception. One must be careful with what types of materials he makes weights out of, so that there is no deception. Kuntres Aladaf very nicely explains the numerous isurim associated with weights. The pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, pasuk Lamed He, discusses fraudulent practices regarding measures and weights. The Gemara explains, for example, that one should not store his weights in salt, because the salt will alter their accuracy. Taisus Divrei Amaschel Ubemesura cites the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, which explains that using inaccurate weights to defraud someone constitutes actual gezela, robbery, and is included under the general Isser of Leisigzo. The Pasuk of Leisasu teaches us that one violates an Isser manufacturing a faulty weight, even if he never ends up using it. This concept is found also in the Pasuk in Devarim, Perakof Hei Pasuk Yudalad, Lo Yia Beveisecha Eifa V'Eifa. One may not have in his house different types of weights, which could be used to defraud people. This is Mitzvah Reish Nun Ches. The Minchas Chinuch comments that it appears to him that one transgresses an Isser as soon as he places the weight in salt, even if he subsequently has a change of heart and removes it from the salt before any damage was done. He nevertheless has violated an Isser at the moment he placed it in the salt with the intent to defraud. The Rambam in Hilchas Geneva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, in codifying this Isser, writes that one who maintains inaccurate weights in his house automatically transgresses a Laisase, but does not incur the penalty of Malkus, because it is a lav shein by Maisa, an Isser which is transgressed passively without any action. The rule is that one incurs Malkus only when actively transgressing an Isser. But if one's weight corroded over time, he does not incur Malkus merely for his inaction of failing to get rid of the faulty weight. Regarding the Isser of having chametz on Pesach, bal yirah or bal yematzeh, the Rambam in Hilchas Chametz u'Matzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, rules that one who forbiddingly keeps chametz in his possession on Pesach does not incur the penalty of Malkus, since his transgression of bal yirah did not involve any action. It's a lav she'ein bo maisa. The Rambam adds, however, that in a case where one actively transgresses bal yirah, such as, for example, if one purchases chametz on Pesach, or one bakes bread on Pesach, then indeed he will be subject to Malkus for his active transgression. The Gemara brings Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, who says it's usur for a person to keep an inaccurate measure in his house, since it could accidentally be used, and he can't even use it as a toilet. Daf Tzadik. In the Beis Hamikdash, they weren't afraid of inaccurate measures, because we say Kohanim Zerizim Heim. Even if it ends up that there's an inaccurate measure, one kohen will remind the other not to use it. The Gemara says a grocer should not make a profit of more than 1/6, because if he does, it'll drive prices up, and he'll be over for aina, and the deal will become a mekach tais, and it'll be batal. The Gemara says the mana of hektish was not 25, but rather it was double, it was 50. People who stockpile peris by buying it low and selling it high, or those who take ribis, or those who use false measures, Hashem will never forget their bad deeds. It is usur to stockpile large amounts of staple foods like flour, wine, or oil, since you create a low supply which causes inflation. The Gemara says usur to export many peiros from Eretz Yisrael to Syria, since Syria is considered like Chutz Laretz, because we say kibush yachid lav shmei kibush. Daf Tzadik Aleph. It is usur to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz, unless food gets very expensive. We say you don't leave Eretz Yisrael, because you lose the opportunity then to do mitzvahs. In fact, some of the Gedolim were punished for leaving Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yitzchak said, the same day Rus came to Eretz Yisrael, the wife of Boaz died. This teaches us that Hashem brings the cure before he brings about the punishment. We learn from Baez that even if you have a lot of children, if you lose your wife, you should still remarry and have more children. We learn from Elimelech that even if one has schus avais, if he leaves Eretz Yisrael, there's no guarantee that he'll be protected. The Gemara says the mother of Avram was called Amseloi Baskarnova. The Gemara then explains that the purpose of revealing these names is the Tshuvas Haminim, as a response to the Apikursim. We know that for 10 years, the Gemara says, Avram was put into jail because of his beliefs. In Ur Kasdim, he was thrown into a fire, and Hashem saved his life. The day Avram Avinu died, all leaders of the world said that the world lost their true leader. In Rus, it says the names of the sons of Elimelech were Machlon and Kilion. In Divrei Hayamim, they're called by different names, Yoyash and Saraf. Mayav came from Loit, and the whole story of Mayav and Rus eventually leads to David HaMelech. Finally, Rav Papa said, anything which is aged, which is old, is good, is better than when it's younger, except for dates, beer, and small fish. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the sixth parak, Parak HaMecher Peres, Daf Tzadik Beis. This parak deals with Holchin B'Momen Achar HaRoiv. Rav says, we do, and Shmuel says, Roiv is used all over the Torah, but not for concepts that deal with money. And the Mishnah says, if someone sells fruits to his friend, but we don't know if it was for the purpose of food or for the purpose of planting, if the buyer planted it and they were defective and they didn't grow, the seller is potter. The Tanakhama holds, even though most seeds of Pishtan are sold for planting purposes, but we say, Ein holchin b'mamon achar harayv. But Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, he is chayef, since we say that it was a mekach tois. And the Gemara says, if someone sold an axe, and the axe gored, so you can't plow with it, but you can only slaughter it, Rav says it's considered a mekach tois. Shmuel, who is how we paskin-like, says the seller doesn't owe money, since he can say he sold it for the purpose of shechita, and since we hold ein holche b'mamon achar harayv, he's pater. According to the Rashbam, Rav says we always go after rayv. Shmuel says we only go after rayv by iser, not by mamon. This is since once a person pays money to the buyer now becomes a muchzuk, and now it's up to the seller to prove what was his exact intention when he purchased it, i.e. hamoitzi mechavero olav haraya. They said that if someone owes you money, even if all he has is bran, you should collect it immediately, because in a week he may not have any money. If a woman was divorced, and she says now she wants the money from her ksuba, she says she deserves to get 200 zuzim, since when she was married, she was a vesula. He says she deserves only 100, since at that time she was an almana. If there are edim that when she went to the chuppah, she was wearing a veil or had her hair uncovered, that it's a proof that she was a basula, so she gets 200. Daf Tzadik Gimel. If an axe gored a cow, and we find a dead embryo on the side, and we don't know if the child was born already dead, or if the child was a result of the goring, and therefore the Baal HaShor must pay, so we say that he pays chatzi nezik for the cow, but one quarter from the embryo, since we hold of sumchas, mamon hamutl besafik, cholkin. I.e. he gets half of the half, which is equal to one quarter. The general rule is that roiv is stronger than a chazaka, but sometimes there is a question if you go after the roiv related to people or the roiv related to items. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that if one buys inedible garden seed for planting and they fail to sprout when he plants them, he's entitled to a refund. The klal is that the second tana of a mishnah, like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, is always coming to add on to what the first tana said. Shimon Gamliel said, there was a great minhag in Yerushalayim that if someone catered a meal for a friend and it turned out to be bad, he must pay for the value of the shame to him and to his friend. Also, it was a minhag that if you wanted to welcome guests to your house for a meal, you'd put out a white sheet in front of your house as a simon to people that they're welcome to come in. The Mishnah. If someone sells grain to his friend, the buyer must accept one quarter of a kav of foreign material in each saw, since normally people are meichel on this, even if there's a little bit of bad materials inside the grain. If someone sells a cellar of wine, they must automatically accept 10 bad cups of wine per 100. Daf Tzadik Dalet. Rav Huna says if a buyer finds more impurities than is allowed in the Mishnah, he is entitled to exchange all of the impurities for good quality grain, not just the ones in excess of the amount which is allowed in the Mishnah. This is a kenas. When dealing with kelayim, we must be more machmer. Gemara says if two people gave a shomer money to watch, one gave 100 and one gave 200, and both claim that the 200 is theirs, each gets 100, and the third 100 is munach ad sheyavai elio. If a shtar chayiv is written to include ribis, Rameir says, we give a knas to the malva, and he can't even collect the karen, the base amount, since he was over on the iser of leisashlik, which has to do with ribbis. Daf tzedekeh. If a buyer was cheated on price, if it was less than 1/6 of the value, then the sale is valid, because the buyer is meichel on that. If it's more than 1/6, the sale is batel, because it's considered a mekach tais. If it's exactly 1/6, the sale is valid, but the seller must return the difference. So we have a raya to rapuna, that once you're chayav to return money, you have to return all of it. Rabbi Yehuda says, wine which is sold in a tavern, you make a bracha of bari pri agafen on it, even though it's poor quality and it's a bit sour. Rabbi Chizda says, you make a bracha of shahakal niya bidvari, since it's sour. Since sour bread, which is spoiled, is also a shahakal. The Beis Yosef in Aruch Chaim, Simon Reish Dalad, says that cereal or bread, which is being discussed here, is one which is partially spoiled, but is still considered somewhat edible. However, if the food is entirely spoiled and unfit for human consumption, then no bracha should be said at all, because an inedible item does not require a bracha. Kuntres Aladaf mentions the fact that the Gemara addresses the proper bracha rishayna, which is the bracha we eat prior to eating moldy bread, but it does not address the question of bracha achreina. The Rambam, in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, rules that as a general rule, any food that requires the bracha rishayna of shahakal requires the bracha achreina of bar nefashos. Thus, says the Rambam, the proper bracha to be recited after eating moldy bread is bari nefashos. The Mishnah Brura, brought in the Bir Halacha, Simen Reish Dalet, takes issue with this ruling. He argues that since the obligation to recite a Birchas HaMazon after eating bread is a mitzvah min HaTorah, it stands to reason that one must recite Birchas HaMazon even after a meal of moldy bread, as long as the bread is fit for human consumption, as we mentioned before. Although with regard to its bracha rishayna, the Rabbanan felt, due to its inferior quality, one should recite a shahakal, rather than more prestigious bracha of hamaitzi, nevertheless, one should be required to recite the daraisa required of bracha achreina of birchas hamazon, since even moldy bread is considered bread, albeit inferior quality bread. The Rashbam indicates that the reason why hamaitzi is not recited on moldy bread is because it's lav lechemhu. Moldy bread is not considered bread. Moldy bread is not merely considered inferior quality bread, but rather it forfeits its halachic status of bread. Accordingly, it stands to reason, as the Rashbam rules, that moldy bread should not require birchas hamazon, since moldy bread is not deemed as bread, but rather some other type of food which only requires the bracha achreina of bari nefashos. Daf tzadik vav. If someone wants to take one barrel of wine to pater a different one by making it truma and meiser, according to Rebbe, if the barrel is vinegar, you can't use it to pater wine. Now he is baitik the barrel, and it seems like wine, but a month later he finds out it's vinegar. The rule is, for the first 3 days, we consider it to be like wine. The last 3 days, it's vinegar, and the middle days, it's a suffix. If someone sold a barrel of wine to his friend, and it turned out to be vinegar, according to Rav, for the first 3 days, it belongs to the meicher, and the sale is a mekach tais. But after 3 days, it's considered a good sale. Normally, by the way, it takes 3 days for wine to turn to vinegar. However, Shmuel says, the owner influences the wine by his mazel, so it's always his responsibility, and we say that the halacha is like Shmuel. Date beer and barley beer and sediment wine have the bracha of shahakal niya bidvari. Some say on sediment wine you make a bracha of bari pri hagafen. Finally, date beer, barley beer, and sediment wine have the bracha of shahakal niya bidvari. Some say on sediment wine you make a bracha of bari pri hagafen. Tzadik zayin. Sediments of truma become mutter once you've added water for the third time. Meiser sheni, the second time it's mutter. Hektish is only mutter by the fourth time. Rameir holds the fourth time it's also aser, since it has a tam yayin. The same halacha we said by truma and meiser also applies to hachshara, to determine if something is mukshar lekabel tuma. We know that something becomes wet, then it becomes mukshar lekabel tuma. Rav says it's mutter to make kiddush on Shabbos on wine which is mutter to be used as nesachim on the mizbeach. But if it's unfit for nesachim, for example, its smell isn't very good, then you cannot use it for kiddush. Diluted wine, however, is mutter for kiddush. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chof Tes, Halacha Yud Dalet, extends Rav's rule to include wine sweetened with honey or sugar and cooked wine as well, since the halach is that cooked wine or honey wine is unfit for the nesachim. Tosfos and many other Rishonim say that kiddush, you are allowed to make kiddush with cooked or sweetened wine, since the cooking does not ruin but rather enhances the wine. Rav only meant to exclude wines which are deemed unfit for nesachim due to their inferiority. Rav did not mean to exclude cooked wine for kiddush, inasmuch as it is not because of its inferiority that cooked wine is unfit for nesachim. If anything, cooking actually enhances it. The Rama in Aruch Chaim, Simen, Ayin, Reish, Beis, Sifches, writes that the minhag is to rely on taisvus and use cooked or sweetened wine for kiddush if they are the best or only wines available. And that's actually how we paskin today, that yayin mevushel is mutter for kiddush. What about white wine for nesachim? Our answer is, since by nesachim it says, hasech nesach shechar, it's mashma that it must be something which can intoxicate, like red wine. Only red wine is mutter for nesachim, not white wine, which does not intoxicate. The Mishnah. If someone sells wine and then it turns sour, the seller doesn't have to give the money back because it was, when it was actually sold, it was good wine. Ein chayev bachriusai. But if it's sold lemikva, sold as a preservative or a seasoner, and it's expected to last a long time, then he's chayev, the seller is chayev to pay all the money back since it's considered a mekach tais. Because when the person bought it, he bought it that it should last a long time for seasoning purposes, and if it didn't, the sale is batel. Daf tzedek ches, the Gemara. Reb Chiya holds that when it comes to wine, it's the mazel of the owner who influences it. And finally, someone who acts with gaiva and puts on a talus of a Talmud Chacham, and he's not a Talmud Chacham, they will not bring him into the machitza of Hashem. At this point, we will conclude the shir. If it's Hashem on the next tape, we'll begin from the Mishnah on Daf Tzedek Ches, Amud Beis.